Not every Bible passage is meant to make us feel good. Some verses challenge our natural inclination to take the easy way. Join others on the race of life in taking stock of your spiritual condition, as today we come face to face with a stern warning from the book of Hebrews. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series is Highlights from Hebrews, and today we're turning once again to Hebrews chapter 10. In this, the fifth message in his series, Dr. Lutzer comes now to speak on taking sin seriously.
Whenever I explain the gospel, and particularly emphasize that those who have put saving faith in Christ are saved and saved forever, that is, if they understand that Jesus did all that ever will be necessary for them to stand in the presence of a holy God. Immediately, people come to me with stories. I like to call these people the motor boaters. Yeah, but. So I'm going to begin with some stories, some true stories. Here's a man who attends Bible school, marries a young Christian woman. They become missionaries for 7 years, establishing churches and doing evangelism. He comes back on furlough, along with his wife, tells her that he doesn't love her, he's leaving her, he divorces her, and begins to live with a homosexual lover, and says, "I never was saved, I don't want to be saved." That's it. Conclusion ended. So people ask, what about him? He abandoned the faith. Was he really saved? You mean to say he too is still going to go to heaven anyway? When I was in Canada growing up, there was this young man, and all of us thought that he might be Canada's Billy Graham, just one of those unique gifts for preaching, and preached with such sincerity. He was dating this young woman, and they never got along well. Everybody could see problems. Oh, everybody said, this is not going to work out. And she did him a wonderful service. She broke up with him. That was a gift. Well, he wouldn't accept it. He stood on a bridge all night with her ring, trying to get up enough nerve to throw it overboard. But he didn't get up enough nerve to do it. He should have. Well, he talked her into marrying him, and they were married, and sure enough, just like everybody else said, the marriage went nowhere, broke up. He left the ministry. He decided that he was going to shut down church, never attend church again, spent all of his gifts, and he was not only a good preacher, but a good singer, singing at a nightclub in one of the large cities in Canada, and that's where he ended. Not exactly. Things have changed since, but for 20 years, that's where he ended. Let me give you a more famous story. Chuck Templeton, who used to preach with Billy Graham. I remember people telling me that Chuck was a better preacher than Billy when they went over in Scotland and England before Billy rose to fame. Chuck used to preach, and people supposedly were converted. He gave an invitation, and many people came forward, and Chuck today has abandoned the faith. He not only claims not to be a Christian, but has written books trying to debunk the resurrection and what have you, and is interviewed oftentimes today in Canada, even in relationship with his friendship to Billy Graham. What happened to him? You mean to say he is saved? Well, folks, that's the topic for this morning, and maybe I have just scared up more rabbits than I can shoot. But nevertheless, what we're going to do is to look at God's Word and try to wrestle with a very difficult text. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You know last time how I emphasized the first part of the chapter where we see that Jesus Christ is the one sacrifice, and that's why nobody else qualifies to be a Savior. All other religions have gurus and teachers. No other religion has a Savior. But he is the one who gave himself up for us all. Verse 12, he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected for all time, forever, them who are sanctified. Jesus Christ has perfected those who believe, those who are a gift from God the Father to God the Son. Those whom thou hast given me, of them, said Jesus, I have lost none. I've lost none. But now we come to verse 26, where the writer of the book of Hebrews now gives one of those strong warning passages, the fourth in the book. And I want you to know that many people are thrown off base by this, because some people would interpret it to say, see, it is possible to believe in Christ, to be sanctified, quote, for all time, and yet lose your salvation, because that's who it is speaking about here. Other people say, no, we know that those who receive Christ and are born again of the Spirit and are sealed by the Spirit will arrive in heaven. This must be referring to those who are not Christians. Those who profess to believe but never really believed. And we know that there are tons of those people. You realize, of course, that there are many people who think they are saved but aren't. Many people think but aren't. So some people would interpret this to say that's who he's referring to. Well, it is a difficult passage, but I'm going to give you a different interpretation today. And that is, I believe that this passage of Scripture, despite all of its stark harshness, apparent harshness, refers to believers, even though believers will be eventually saved, yes. But there is a form of apostasy that even believers can experience that we need to be aware of. And even though they have been legally declared by God to be perfected forever, as his children, they will be disciplined by him, and severely so. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, it says that God scourges every son whom he receives, the text says. Furthermore, we know that God disciplines primarily his own people. The others also experience the judgment of God, but you know that if your children are fighting in a playground with other children, other neighbors' children, when you go out to the playground, who is it that you call for? And if the situation warrants it, who is it that is disciplined? Not your neighbor's children. Don't do that, or you'll be bound to be sued, but your own children. God is interested in his own people and will not let them get by forever without his chastening rod. Why do I say that this text refers to Christians? Well, let's look at it. Verse 26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no more a sacrifice for sins. Apparently, the author of the book of Hebrews thought that he was capable of doing what he's going to discuss. He says that if you turn away from Christ, there is no other sacrifice available. If you're a believer, Christ has saved you, but in terms of fellowship with God, you are turning away from the only one who can bring you back into God's presence and have you experience fellowship with God. Furthermore, verse 29, of how much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as an unclean thing the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified? Notice chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And now you have someone trampling underfoot the blood of Christ by which he was sanctified. Yes, it sounds strong, but I think that even Christians, yes, Christians can do that. What I'd like to do to understand this text is to ask a couple of questions. The first is, what is this willful sin? You know, in the Old Testament, and that's the background that, of course, illuminates the book of Hebrews, in the Old Testament, the willful sin was designated in the book of Numbers, sometimes called sinning with a high hand. Men sinning with defiance. You are sinning with knowledge. You know the true God, and you know what God's will is. It is sin against knowledge. And it is defiance, because what you're saying is, though I know what God wants, I will go my own way. I will abandon what I know to be true. It is conscious, willful, deliberate, hard-hearted sin. In effect, though not literally perhaps, but in effect, shaking your fist into God's face. What I want us to see in this text is, first of all, that the people to whom the book of Hebrews was written, their willful sin was going back to the Old Testament sacrifices. They believed in Christ. They understood that he was the Messiah. In fact, later on in this chapter, he commends them for what they were willing to endure for that belief. But things were getting tough. There was persecution, and they were being talked against. And they thought, you know, maybe we should go back to those Old Testament sacrifices, turning away from Christ. That is a deliberate, high-handed, willful sin. What I'd like us to notice is simply two truths that grow out of the passage. The first is this, that somebody who does that has greater responsibility even than those in the Old Testament. I read it before, but let's pick it up at verse 28. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. There were some sins in the Old Testament for which there was not a sacrifice, and you just died. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace? He's arguing here from the lesser to the greater. The people in the Old Testament didn't understand what we presently understand. And now you have been sanctified by God. You have seen your need, and you have put your trust in him, and now you lift your hands to the heavens, to the very God who saved you, and you defy him, and you do your own thing, though you know what he requires, and that is very serious business. Very serious.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer talking about some very serious business. Perhaps you realize that I take an interpretation of this passage that is a little different than most. It seems to me very clear that the author of Hebrews is talking about Christians. He says, if we sin willfully, he seems to include himself in the possibility of doing this. And when it talks about the severe judgments, I think that those are judgments that can come even to Christians. It is God's severe discipline when we don't take sin seriously and when we toy with sin. Please stay tuned next time as this message will continue.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of Taking Sin Seriously, another message in his series, Highlights from Hebrews. Monday, join us to see what the author of Hebrews says will happen to believers who go their own way. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. We believe our series from Hebrews will help you draw near to God in fully assured faith. Highlights from Hebrews can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. You can also reach us on the internet. Just go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. This is Dave McAllister. Sin is indeed serious. Find out more on Monday's edition of Running to Win.